Welcome to Brands Talking Influencers Q&A. We're taking our fireside chat to the Grin Gets Real podcast. Now you can listen and learn beyond the webinar experience. And now, if you missed our fireside chat, review the podcast episode page for the rewatch link so that you can catch up. If you were there, you listened to how Taylor took their influencer program that was more focused on affiliate first and turned it around to month-over-month success by reframing the focus to content. She shared the drastic change of the type of content they received after this reframing of their program. The richer content was more authentic, lifestyle-focused, and ultimately told the Gainful brand story better. They focus on building relationships to create a strong brand community that ultimately is the key to the success of their program. With a dedicated headcount to managing the program, they've been able to grow their program to the success that it is now. Watch, rewatch, learn from the lessons they went through. What you're going to listen to is the Q&A that we didn't get to. This fireside chat had a record number of questions, and we try to squeeze it all in there. They answered questions like, how long did it take you guys to grow your affiliate team? To what does your vetting process look like? So put your AirPods in, turn up that volume, and get ready for a little influencer marketing Q&A with Bridget and Taylor from Gainful. Taylor and Bridget, welcome back. We just got off of the Brands Talking Influencers Fireside Chat, where you dropped a ton of knowledge, and we got an unprecedented amount of questions that we want to be able to attack. So are you ready for it?
I think so.
Absolutely.
All right, here's our first question. Are these influencers in your program for organic or for paid?
So the way that we think about our Team Gainful community and also product seeding is really that we have organic relationships with these influencers. While it's still considered a paid promotion when they do post content that features Gainful, it's really building up our organic presence across the board. And it's our way of really building this community. When we work with paid influencers in TikTok and in other channels, the main KPI for us is acquisition. And that's why we don't consider Team Gainful to really be a paid influencer group. It's more of that organic influencer group for us.
Excellent. Now, what are the major KPIs you're looking at when evaluating the success of the creators' campaigns on Instagram?
For our Team Gainful community, and this is all nano influencers, so they have much smaller followings than some of those larger tiers. It's really hard to put like very big sales or acquisition KPIs on them up front. So what we really start to look at is more of those awareness drivers. So the reach, the impressions that we're seeing across this large group of influencers, as well as some of the qualitative, what's the quality of the content? Are we able to repurpose it?
Yeah.
When we, you know, cycle that up through to our paid channels, does that same content that lives organically on their channels convert when it's targeted more specifically to those audiences? And so that's when we can start to look at more of those acquisition KPIs. But upfront, we still look at it as an awareness driver and more top of funnel.
Now, how often are you ROI positive when running influencer campaigns on Instagram? I ask this question because I'm new to influencer marketing. And in my case, we have worked with about 30 creators on Instagram so far, and only one creator has turned out to be ROI positive. What are your suggestions as to how to look for the right creators and what numbers I need to pay attention to? It's a meaty question. So let's start with the how often are you ROI positive when running your influencer program, and then dive into the tips.
For us on Team Gainful, it's almost every time due to how we look at our compensation with this group. Almost every time that we're ROI positive. So the cost for us is the cost of the product and shipping it out. And how we structure this group is we pay to repost their content. And we offer, I mentioned this in the webinar, additional income opportunities to do specific pieces of content and win like $100 extra or something that month. But overall, we really rely on Gainful Credit as their main association with the program. And so because of that, we're really eliminating a lot of the photographer and production costs that go into creating this awesome usable content that we put on our organic social, in emails, paid campaigns, which really makes this group an efficient driver for content for us. And because of that, ROI positive most of the time.
I love the way that you guys are viewing ROI. I think typically people hear it and they're assuming everything is sales, which it is. I mean, we all want to see a return on investment because you're a business. You are here to sell the product. But at the same time, all of that added value that you're getting from the content to being able to repurpose it. And you're right, you do not have to get a photographer. That's basically what it is that you're hiring to be able to create more authentic content from it. Now, for the second part of this question, what kind of advice would you give to someone who is working with 30 creators and only sees that return on investment with one of them so far? Is it, you know, changing the way that you look at return on investment? Is there a metric that you should look at? Are there several things that you should look at from an advice standpoint?
I think for us, really looking at expectation setting is important for us. And so it really depends, like, what kind of influencer is this person working with? When you're putting more money into a higher following or engagement, you really need to recoup that, obviously, through sales, as well as the content production costs. But is there a way to kind of look at a smaller pool, potentially? This is what we do with our nano influencers. And, you know, you have those content costs and we get usable content. But this is also a group that is dipping their toes into the influencer space. This month, so January we're in right now, we know that a lot of new people are coming to our brand. We're in the fitness and nutrition space. There's going to be a lot of new eyeballs. How can we really engage this core group of ambassadors with additional earning opportunities? This month, we really bumped up commission and said, okay, like internally, the role of this group is not necessarily a sales driver, but they want to be influencers. They have an engaged community, and we're already starting to see sales tick upwards because now they have an additional opportunity, even though that's not the primary goal, it is possible. So now we're going to take this learning and see, where can we flex up from there to make those additional sales that we're looking for without having that be all end all goal? Because when we looked at it that way, the first time around, it was really difficult for us to scale because we didn't have unlimited budgets to put into creators with mass reach. And then people on the smaller side, you can't put the expectation on them to make the kind of sales that a celebrity testimonial would do. It's just not the same. So really looking at who you're working with in that way.
Now, when did you guys start your program initially? I mean, I imagine that you started it before you had Grin.
Taylor and the team really built out the influencer program right when Taylor started, actually, which was in October of 2020, and really started to think about how we could tap into new audiences through this influencer program. And it took some iterations around really what were the best ways to reach out to this community, starting with through Instagram directly, through DM, and just finding that like it was really hard to keep all of that organized and hard to keep track of who we wanted to work with. So that was when the Grin platform became our main sourcing and tracking and speaking directly with influencers that we wanted to connect with. And then, as Taylor mentioned during the webinar, we started with this affiliate model, and we found that the affiliate model actually didn't end up working as well for us in the long run as we wanted it to, because we were so focused on driving those conversions from these personal trainers that we just found that, you know, we weren't able to take it as far as we really wanted to. So that was when we started to really use the Grin platform a little bit differently to expand outside of that really narrow focus of that type of personal trainer into more of this creator space with a really high interest in health, wellness, and fitness. So it started organically, and then we quickly found that we had a need to have a tool to really help us manage all of this because we are a lean team and we needed to have as much efficiency as possible.
I love that you said efficiency, because the previous question that was answered was this return on investment. And one of the things that I think that often gets missed is the value of being efficient, right? The value of time, the value of Taylor's time spending either DMing people versus using like the search tool in Grin. Like, what's the value of her time as well too? I don't know if you have thoughts on that aspect of it.
Yeah, I think that's just it, is that like we all know how much time this takes. And we also always want to make sure that we're appreciating just how much goes into building out a program of this kind. And part of it is just making sure that when you do sit down to do any type of outreach or following up with influencers, that your time is really well spent and that you're able to track just how much is being received, what's the open rate, all of those things. So there is so much more efficiency because of the GRIN program, and really the way that Taylor and Camilla are able to lead it together, it does allow for making sure that all the time spent on influencer is really going to see that return that we're looking for, because it's not just the dollars going in, it is really, you know, the day-to-day, how much effort this does take to build this community. And now we're really proud of the community that we've been able to build. And part of that is because, you know, we did have some of the learnings from early on and things that we wanted to change to make sure that we had more of this funneled approach from product seeding into Team Gainful, so that we had a really qualified group of influencers that we could partner with in, you know, that pool that was really our ambassadors for us and now have become this content stream as well.
Okay, so would love to know more about your paid TikTok strategy and if you're using it for performance, also known as sales, or just brand awareness, since it isn't considered a quote unquote shopping platform like Instagram and new Pinterest. Are you using TikTok for brand awareness or for sales, or maybe it's a mix of both?
At this point, our TikTok strategy is really a mix of both. And part of this is really because our head of growth really sees as much opportunity there as we do, both on the growth and brand side, but just the ability to work directly with content creators through the TikTok marketplace and content creator tool there is how a lot of the TikTok influencers directly are being sourced and referenced. And then we're looking to expand upon that by building our Team Gainful to include more of those TikTok first creators so that we can actually work really closely with the growth team so that some of our Team Gainful influencers are also producing content for both paid and for organic. So we see this as just nothing but opportunity at this point across both growth and brand. And it's something that we're really excited to continue to roll out, learn more about the platform, and also just reach this new group of content creators that are in that space. But I think the amazing thing with TikTok too is that you also have the ability to go viral, whether it's a paid post or not. So that's something else that we really want to tap into. And as we build out our social strategy further, that's another area that we can also work potentially with influencers to help to produce content for our TikTok. Or if we do just find different areas that are really driving more views for us, then we can continue to lean into that on the organic side. And then all tides rise when both organic and growth are behind Gainful on the same platform.
And just for clarification, was TikTok something new just for last year, or had you dipped your toes already in a little bit of TikTok prior?
It was really new for us last year. And this was our new head of growth started mid-year. So that was really when we started looking into TikTok as a strategy for us. And it's really all about the diversification of our paid spend and how we can make sure that we're across multiple platforms and really just looking at what's working for us and what's working for our target audience. So it's really been a growth strategy within the last year, I would say.
Okay, we're up with the next question. When you're defining the content guidelines for your creators, how do you divide the brand strategy among them? Meaning, if there are multiple content pillars the brand wants to communicate, for instance, education, promotion, etc., how do you choose which influencers does what?
This is a great question. It's something that we're actually discussing on the brand team. We talked about it today earlier, in terms of who do we want to say what and how much information do you give them so that they're able to distill it and still put their voice into it. We found that giving brand ambassadors, so our Team Gainful nano influencers, a little more top line brand information really allows them to still enjoy the product, have fun with it, speak to the brand as a whole. That way their followers can just learn a bit more, but these are not necessarily people that were paying specific content to get specific content. Their contracts are more social requirements that don't have a lot of creative direction behind them because we're not paying them like we do higher tier influencers. So for people that we are paying more for their content to give more specific direction and, you know, ultimately to get good engagement on their channels and turn that into an ad, those are the people that we give really specific, probably like product information that we want them to talk about, or specific qualities about a product launch that we want them to really get across. That way we can cut that up, splice and dice, and use it more widely.
Typically the paid promotions where you want to give a little bit more direction, how long would you say, or even if you can actually distill this down to like a time range of how long they've been working with you, that you typically entertain like a more strategic approach with them to really get the content that you want to attack the different pillars?
I think what we've done up to this point really is look at our relationships more than just a one-off for anyone that we are using in a higher tier paid capacity. So for the most part, everyone for their first month of content is really doing top line brand education that, you know, says, pick your favorite parts about Gainful. And we have like a list of brand talking points and they pick the one that really resonates the most with them. It's not us giving specific, you must say this one liner or you must show this specific shot. But they choose the brand point that sticks the most with them, talk about that in their first piece of content. And as the months go on with our content contracts with them, that's when we start to bring up, hey, this month, can you talk about personalized hydration and how you use it when you're going on that really long run if you're prepping for a race? Like talk more specifically about that area of your life as it relates to Gainful and how Gainful is really helping you in that area. But that's not something that we bring up right away.
Okay, nice. Now, how long is your general contract with these influencers? How much of this is purely organic placement versus used in paid channels, which I feel like you kind of touched on a little bit already. So like, let's focus on how long is your general contract with influencers typically?
Usually our contracts, they can range, but we like to do them almost like quarterly. So you'll see 3-month engagements and then up to 6-month engagements. And then depending on the success of content across a couple of different KPIs, we can choose to extend that for more content on their channels, tap them for more specific brand pieces of content. We're kind of testing the waters there too about where can we really engage influencers and content creators to do really unique things for the brand, whether that's like an Instagram Live and helping support these other channels that are not just use my code.
I love that. Now, how do you measure the impact of your influencers?
So I can actually take this one to start because we've been talking a lot about impact of our influencer program overall and just really thinking about how are we really ultimately able to track? Because when you do have these types of programs that are building more of that top of funnel reach and awareness, it may not be the last click attribution model like a paid influencer is where they're using that exact code to click through. So part of what we're doing is really building like, what is our month-to-month reach? Is it growing? Is it something that we're seeing is building over time? Are we also seeing that longer term, what are the impacts that this is having on other parts of the business, like our conversion, like our retention, and really just building out what the tracking for this looks like over time? You know, with our Team Gainful group that we've had live now for a few months, we're tracking everything and it still is in early phases, but as we're further down, we really want to make sure that the best ways that we can actually track the impact of this group from product seeding through Team Gainful as a top of funnel initiative that's ultimately driving that conversion and driving those sales for us is really where we want to get to. So right now, what we're doing is tracking all of our reach and impressions, and then also the quality of the social posts that we have going out. Are they on brand for us? Is it something that, you know, really feels like is a good extension of the Gainful brand? Because all of that together is ultimately going to be the best measures of success for us to have the long-term impact on the business.
How many hours per week does it take you and your team to manage your program within Grin?
I love this question because it's super easy and we have even done it, you know, internally while we were figuring this out. It's easy to underestimate how much really goes into the program as a whole when you're looking across sourcing, vetting, engaging, and then maintaining those relationships. This is truly a full-time job, and our influencer coordinator, Camilla, does so much of this and more because she's also coordinating content efforts, you know, outside of the ambassador program, and this is her full-time 40 hours per week spent in Grin doing all of this.
I love it. At least she's going to one place to do all of that. I think that's really the key, right? Of the total number of intro emails sent to influencers, what percentage of the influencers responded back? You don't need to give like necessarily the exact percentage, but it would be great to get like a good indicator of when you're reaching out to those influencers, how many are actually responding back. And I think where this question stems from is this lack of response from influencers when you're initially reaching out.
This is something that we do track really heavily so that we can optimize at the product seeding point, making sure that we don't have to reach out to a million influencers. If we can get enough people to respond upfront, then we can really optimize from there. And so our goal for this is 40% response rate to that initial outreach. And we see, I mean, it depends on seasonality. For example, the holidays, people were a little bit slower to respond, but we see between 35 and 40% response.
Very nice. I like that you didn't say 100% because I think that sometimes that's the expectation, right? Like I reached out to 20 of them and none of them got back to me. Those were not the 20 that we're going to if it was a larger pool. I also love the follow-up question with this as well too. Do you recommend email versus DM?
For the smaller group in terms of their following, these nano influencers, not that they are not responsive over email, but we have run into this really endearing, honestly, people who don't have necessarily business emails set up just yet, or maybe they have old emails attached to their Instagram account. And because they're just getting started in the content creator influencer space, that is not always up to date. So we do see a lot of, you know, email upfront. Maybe the email doesn't go through or it bounces. And then we do follow up over DM just in case, because we think they're a good fit, and say, hey, is this still the right email for you? And then connect with the correct email. So it's definitely a mix of both.
Nice. Do you find it to be easier to organize in an email thread versus like a DM thread? Because I know in other conversations I've had with other brands as well too, someone brought up the fact that it's really tough to organize your very own DM of all the people that you're reaching out to. But I don't know if you have thoughts on that.
So one of the challenges that we do have with having everyone in DM is that we do have our lead for organic social is in there and managing really all the back and forth with our customers and then also with content creators. So when you have that on top of the creator outreach and management that both Camilla and Taylor are doing, it just becomes hard to manage. So anytime that we can move from DM to email, we do try to do that. But internally, we've tried to also set up an organization system for us so that we're not kind of stepping on each other within the Instagram platform.
Nice. Now, you talked about how you had to reframe your approach and think of content generated by influencers as an awareness driver and then extending the life cycle of that content elsewhere to bring in new customers. Can you tell us more about what that looks like for you? Like, how are you extending your content? Are you using influencer content in paid campaigns, for example?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean by that. In getting this content from our ambassadors, it's great. We are constantly amazed at the quality that is coming from this group. And because we have a really strong pool of 100 ambassadors at any given time that are active in the program, we have so much great content to choose from. And we're constantly cycling that through our growth team to say, hey, does this make sense for any paid spot coming up? Is there, you know, a certain kind of visual that you've been wanting to test? Here's a pool of it to choose from. We are also bringing this content to more unique places that I would say. So like email features, we actually use a lot of this content as inspiration in like the visual mood board section of creative briefs that we send to other partners saying, hey, this is great. And it came from our own ambassadors. How can we collaborate on similar content? And coming up this year, we're trying to figure out where does this live on site? So that way we can really showcase to customers who are coming to Gainful, seeing the diverse range of people who we partner with and seeing them with their products, with their testimonials on site.
Nice. Now, what are your thoughts? Here's an opinion question. What are your thoughts on influencer posts for fee versus affiliate programs? So an affiliate fee. So I think it's asking flat fee or commission. What are your thoughts on that?
It really depends what your budget is. There are always content creators who are incredible at coming to the table with, you know, really built out media kits. And they can have 1,500 followers. And I look at my own Instagram and I'm like, should I have a media kit? Should I be tracking stuff? And so they are a little more further along, I should say, in turning this into a business for themselves. And so it really depends, you know, if you love their content, which we have. We work with influencers on a smaller scale as content creators and pay fees for this content so that we can have more creative direction, use this on our channels in really specific ways. So there is a lot of value in someone saying, you like my work, you like the quality of my work, I can guarantee this for you, and this is my fee. On the other side of that, when we aren't necessarily putting in a lot of specific direction, but we just love the quality of content people are producing. We love the voice and perspective that they bring to the table and would love Gainful to be inserted into their routine and their life. And it doesn't necessarily have to look a certain way. Like if the quality is there, it doesn't matter to me if you like pose in front of it with a smoothie or you're taking it on a run for something like this. We're just excited that we are being talked about. For us, that's a really big driver. And so with that, we're not necessarily paying a fee, but we do offer affiliate commission incentives and repost incentives, which really go through. We pay them through Grin, and it ensures that the quality, you know, stays high because we're paying for those reposts, but otherwise we're gifting in Gainful credit. And that is really the basis of our program.
I always think of the metaphor of putting all of your eggs in one basket. And I think when it comes to creating like your influencer program or, you know, working with different types of creators, don't put all of your eggs in like an affiliate basket. And if you do, understand, you have to set your expectations for what you're going to get from like just using affiliates, right? If you're going to do flat fees, it's going to be a higher cost because the flat fee requires that higher cost typically. But if you're able to like spread it out, have that gifting, have an affiliate option that's almost like a tiered commission structure as well too, to help you identify those key winners that you're like, yes, not only are you crushing it, but I'd like a longer term partnership. I think that's a great way of just kind of spreading all those eggs out and then really being strategic with whatever budget it is that you have, whether you're working with 20 or you're working with 2,000. I think for me, across all of the brands that I've seen, I'm always fascinated with their structure. There is always like the entry level and then like the super people who are crushing it. Now, do you guys look for influencers based on location? Because the next question is a very specific, like, how do you find influencers from a specific city? But I'm not sure if that plays into how you're looking for influencers.
Yeah, Taylor had really talked about our target, which is this more of a psychographic target that we have with this really dedicated and committed athlete or active individual. So it's less about the location for us. And I would imagine that that's much more of a driver for someone that has certain store locations or where they're trying to drive foot traffic. So for us, because we're a D2C company and because we can really deliver nationally, we're looking to really just bring on those influencers with the best impact and who have the following across the US so that we can reach the right types of qualified followers that they do have. So it's really not as much of a geographic outreach for us at this point.
Excellent. In Grin, there is a filter for location as well too. So if you are, like you said, have a location, let's say you just want Sacramento-based people that are coming to you, we have a filter within Grin that allows you to do that. Now, how did you transition from an affiliate-focused program to a larger program focused on a variety of influencer partnerships?
For us, it was really about looking at what was the trajectory of this affiliate-first program that led us to say, hey, we actually need this to change. Because even within that affiliate first programming, that had some shifts within itself as we tried to make it work. So, you know, we were working with personal trainers. With these personal trainers, who that's either their full-time job or their real income focus, content creation came secondary to that. So we weren't really seeing a ton of great quality content. And because it was really for us like commission based, the content that we were getting was definitely not something we could repurpose very well because it was very promotional, very salesy. They're trying to make money on commission. So it's like, use my link, not a ton of gainful, you know, supports my day to day, my routine, my journey. So from there, we actually took away the social requirements because at this point, there were still sales being made because this group for us have a built-in network, one-to-one connections with clients who, you know, even if they're not posting about us on social, they're still, you know, being able to talk about Gainful behind the scenes. And then at that point, it's kind of like, well, why are we having this be our influencer focus when we're not getting any influencer content out of this at all? So like really looking at it in that way made us say, okay, we actually need to reframe this completely. And for us, that meant this program we've tried, we've changed and tried. It's just not working for us. So that really meant taking it down, bringing, you know, I said earlier saying, hey, we're going to shift this program. Here's what it's going to look like now. And, you know, between there was a good amount of time where we worked on the communications and the workflow and kind of tested it out. So it was probably another couple of months where we were testing into this ambassador first programming, but it was really, you know, test and learn. Okay, we've learned, time to change.
I think that's just it too, is like giving it the amount of time, you know, to see whether it's successful or not. And it's sometimes hard because like, it's not going to be a success overnight. So you do have to make sure that you're giving it enough time to test into it. But then you know when it's not working, once you've put in a couple months of some back and forth, and you're just not getting back what you're hoping to see. And at that point, it really does take relooking at the program and then seeing how you want to approach it next. And then there is going to be that time to build it in between. But ultimately, it does get you to a place where now we know how to activate across this ambassador program. But then we also know how to pull that affiliate lever if we need to, and if we feel like that's the right approach for us. So I think it's really helped us to be able to look at both programs and be able to see like, here's what success for us does look like, and here's what it doesn't. But what are some of the takeaways that we can have from that program that we can apply here?
How do you figure out what to pay influencers for brands that are starting from scratch?
This is always a tough one because there is no, like, you can Google it a million times. You can see any, you know, number of recommendations, but the true reality is that there's no right or wrong equation here that you can just plug in and say, this is what I should be paying this person with this many followers. So for us, figuring this out, you know, really looked like us getting rates from people, really just reaching out, and whether that's through an influencer directly, you know, working with their talent agency or brand managers and just saying, hey, like, what are your going rates? So that we have like a baseline to work off of. And, you know, if it's someone that we really want to work with, how can we package content in a way that makes sense for these rates? So of course, and Bridget can definitely speak more to this because she just works more closely with the growth team that's looking at this, because you have to see what is your cost per acquisition, how many, you know, sales do we think that they're going to make for this number to make sense. But also couple that with the fact that you're offsetting production costs and you're not getting a photographer. So looking at all of these angles together to say if a rate does or does not make sense for your brand at this time.
I think the best thing to do from the start too is just like start small so that you can test into what's working and just make sure that you're doing it in a way that if you were to scale and to be able to pay more influencers at that rate, that it would still make sense for your business and that you would still see the ROI that you're looking for. Because as Taylor mentioned, there are a lot of factors at play and you do have to really balance out, you know, the investments that you're making in certain areas and the savings that you're making in others. But if you start with a pilot group and then really see how that performs, then there's less risk if you decide that, you know, you actually want to pull back on the way that you're paying influencers individually from the start, or if you want to plus it up to get better content, however it looks for you individually.
Love it. Now, we are a handcrafted accessory brand. Any advice for brands that is just starting an influencer program but does not have any monetary incentives to offer? we would just be able to give influencers product in exchange for some social posts. Any advice?
I love this one because, I mean, I don't have all of the information in front of me here, but I think this is a great example of where local could really work for you. I don't know if you are online only, but if you're in like a certain city, there are so many content creators. Like I'm from Denville, New Jersey, for example. So if I go to the local boutique in our downtown, you know, area of 30,000 people live there, it's like the cute boutique though. So if you have some kind of like jewelry party that night and you partner with one of the stores in your local area and then invite local influencers to this event, I feel like this is a really easy way to get people excited about your brand, get them to see it in person, try things on. If you are able to gift products at this time, I think that's always like a really lovely gesture. And it just really sets the scene, makes something quote unquote Instagram friendly for people to say, hey, I'm here with this jewelry brand. I'm so excited by it. They gave me this to take home. And then that's kind of automatic content starter place for you and see where it goes from there. But I always love this. I think that's like that's what I would do. Just have like a local moment and see where you can take it.
Love it. Do you always do paid collaborations? That's the first question. How do you get them to join the affiliate program without having to do a paid collaboration first?
The answer to this is no. For us and for our ambassador program, it all starts from a totally no strings attached gifting place. When I say no strings attached, of course, we're telling them how to get in touch with us on social and encouraging them to, you know, share their journey from unboxing to trying us out on social. So that's not missed. It's definitely encouraged. But we really want people to get their hands on Gainful, try us out, try the flavor boosts, really understand the quality of the products, and then fall in love with it. We give them time here to receive that first package, have that first unboxing. And, you know, we're a supplements company. So you need to really have it more than one time to see if this is something that works for you. So after that 2-week kind of trial period, we get back in touch. We solicit feedback from them, which I think is a great starting place to get conversation going. And that's really one of our first relationship touch points outside of that cold DM or email saying, hey, we'd love to send you something. This is where people start to verbally or write out how much they're loving the product. And that's the point where we say, we love what you're doing. It's so amazing to hear what a great experience you're having with Gainful. Here is our ambassador program that has a little more structure to it. It's, you know, only paid in the sense that you get Gainful credit every month, but that keeps you stocked with your products. So you always have them in the kitchen, ready to go, ready to support you in your day to day. And people have really responded well to this type of approach.
Love it. Now, I've heard that it's best to have a top, middle, and bottom of funnel strategy for influencer marketing. Top strategy being brand awareness, working with macro and mega influencers. Middle strategy being earning authority and building connection and engagement, which is working with macro and micro. And bottom strategy being getting the sales conversion, which is working with micro and nano. Do you agree or utilize this top, middle, bottom funnel strategy approach?
I think you really have to look at where you're seeing the most impact with different types of influencers, and then lay out what approach, what formula works best for you and for your business. And some of that comes down to, what are you offering? Is it a recurring order that you're getting out there? Is it a one-time order? What's your AOV? And how does that also factor into the way that consumers and followers are looking at the influencer content to really see if this is something that they want to try or if it's something that, you know, they need to consider it for a while before they actually invest?
Yeah, I like that. Taylor, do you have more to add to that?
I think that sets it up really in an awesome way. And this really shows the connection, honestly, between the brand and growth teams. You know, even though we're working with different budgets and we're working with different influencers, this is where you really start to see the overlap. And how can we continue to work with people across all of these different levels and make sure that, you know, for whoever's goals, in terms of, you know, cycling this content up, like we've talked about, and extending its lifespan, that it makes sense and making sure that both teams are on the same page and able to use this pool of creators to the best of our ability.
I appreciate the fact that you said that because that's exactly what I was thinking as well too. Like for our team, we got our sub teams, right? You do have the growth team. You know, the content marketer in me takes a look at that question and thinks, well, it was me. I'm going to ask them to introduce Gainful. And to me, that's top of the funnel. And then the middle of the funnel, I'm going to have them answer a bunch of questions that people would naturally have because they've already been introduced. And at the bottom of the funnel, I would use the same influencer to then be like, if you want Gainful, then take the quiz, right? Drive them to that conversion that you're doing. So I think that you can use one influencer across the marketing funnel. So just interesting in both ways. And I love that it is the connection. I think so many people get so siloed into influencer marketing should just be one of these things, but it touches so many different departments. So talk to your growth team. Talk to your SEO team as well too. Talk to your social team as well too. Everybody wants the stuff. How long did it take you guys to grow your affiliate team? How many members did you start with? And at what point in your program did you onboard new members to help support?
So for us, Team Gainful, our ambassador program as it exists today, around 6 months, the ambassador network has been as it is. And in terms of refreshing it, we have given kind of like a beta pool of people. We have 100 active members. The first round of just getting that number up to 100, we let everyone who joined stay, you know, considered active, even if they weren't necessarily hitting the social requirements. We just wanted to see what turnover would look like, what our process looks like to refresh this list, onboard new people. And so we had a beta program of about 3 months. And now that we have everything completely worked out on our end in terms of the onboarding process, as well as the gentle reminder, hey, you joined this group, you haven't met the requirements, and we give you until the end of the month to make up for that. And as soon as this next month starts, if someone has not kept up with the requirements that they do opt into, it is a contract, that's when we have, hey, this program might not be for you, communications. Here are other ways to enjoy Gainful. And, you know, we have a friend referral program and here's how to find it. But we cycle people out in that way. So now that it's the program in its full capacity, we are phasing in and out on a monthly basis.
Nice. What does your vetting process look like?
Our vetting process really is more broad now than when we started. I think we were looking originally very specifically at the verticals that everyone was in. And not that we don't consider those now, but because when you have, you know, nano influencers in the space, at least for us, not everyone has such specific niches on their account. They talk about fitness, wellness, health, and, you know, their girlfriend, boyfriend at college, and, you know, their friends, and they went out and did this. Like, these are people that I am so excited by because they, you know, are excited about Gainful and so interested in the product, and they're so eager and willing to be a part of our ambassador program, but they are not necessarily full-time content creators themselves. They're just dipping their toes in. So we used to skip over people that had, you know, maybe one health and wellness post among, you know, six other, just here's my regular life post. But that's kind of the beauty of this group, is that we want to show that Gainful fits into your routine, and your routine as this normal person, quote unquote, on Instagram can encompass so many things, but really bringing it back to this, how sports nutrition helps support your life in all of these different ways. So we've broadened out the vetting process. So as long as we're hitting on that 50-50 male-female split, as long as we're hitting our general age demos, and as long as there is a through line of interest in health and wellness and credibility, not just the quote unquote Instagram workout girls, then it's worthwhile to us to send product and at least start the product seeding process and see where it goes.
Nice. Now, how do you measure the success of a partnership with a creator? Are you looking at conversions, clicks, comments, or something else? Maybe all of the above and more.
Definitely all of the above. It depends what creator we're talking about here. So if it's one of the higher tier for us paid creators, we're definitely looking more at those bottom funnel metrics in terms of traffic to site, you know, conversions that they make, as well as the social metrics and reach and impressions, engagement, everything there. For our nano influencers, it's incredibly exciting when they do make sales, because this is just proof that you don't need to have a million followers to make sales. But that being said, that is a secondary metric to us that supports the value of the program. But we are really looking at how much reach and engagement are these posts getting us on their channels. And it's really exciting. And what kind of conversation are they driving in the comments of people saying, hey, that's so cool, I want to try it out. Or what's your blend? I want to know more about what kind of protein you have. It's really cool to see the qualitative aspect of the nano influencer group.
I like that. Now, how do you get the higher quality content? And I'm sure that this question came up when we were showing the different versions during the webinar of Q4 one year versus that next year. How did you get that higher quality content?
That was such a dramatic shift. I was so excited. I mean, this really comes, when we were strategizing about, you know, what does an ambassador program look like for us and what kind of content do we want to get? I coined it for myself and really tried to have us focus on this thing called like the Glossier effect. You know, these brands that have such a strong visual identity that me, a non-influencer, regular person who purchases that kind of product, if I were to post about it on Instagram, say like, oh, I just bought like whatever skin cream, I know exactly what kind of content I should create just on my own that would fit on their Instagram or their TikTok. So how were we going to get this for Gainful? It's really getting a huge pool of UGC to choose from that you can refresh your social channels with. So we upfront, we did pay people, you know, higher tier influencers to get a baseline of content. And as we were building out the nano program, this is where we start to bring in monthly content challenges. So for example, we did create a reel or a TikTok style video featuring Gainful in a day in your life. And this is a group of people, we link examples that we like, and they like off the charts, amazing. They were like, here's my morning routine as a fitness influencer. We literally got one of those. And that's amazing, something that we can pop right into our Instagram or our TikTok. And someone else who's new, who's not part of our ambassador program, just a regular customer, starts coming back to our channel and saying, oh, I know what Gainful is looking for. So when they have their unboxing experience, they are starting to snap pics and videos and create content that is also usable and really elevating our brand outside of what our own amazing design team is doing. So we can really support it from all over. But we had to get there. We had to get people tagging us in content that was not just them standing in front of a urinal, which we did have. And so we had to turn it around.
It's amazing what kind of content you get back, huh? That's hilarious. Okay, so I really like this question because I don't think it's asked enough. What do your ambassadors gain from being part of like the overall program? Are there other incentives besides like, I'm going to get either product or I'm going to get commission or I'm going to get this flat fee? What are some benefits to being part of the ambassador program? The perks?
Yeah, I think this is a great question. And it's something that is constantly top of mind for our team in terms of how can we continue to expand these perks? Because we had to start small just to build the program and see what's going to work and bring value to both. And what that looked like upfront was, here, we're able to provide product seeding. And when people join the ambassador program and opt in, they get, you know, refills of their favorite product. And that's outside of the credit that they get towards their account. So of course, they're getting stocked on product. On our end, in terms of support for them, we really make sure as often as possible. We're going to them as experts first. When there are content opportunities outside of these monthly content challenges, we are constantly on the internal team saying, hey, this race is coming up. So when it was like marathon timeframe, who from our community can we reach back out to feature? And we compensate people for their time. So there is a financial component, but we want to collaborate with you outside of just you posting for us. We want to support your journey. We want to build communities in other ways with this group and more to come there. We're really figuring out what that looks like for us. But until that, we're saying, how can we lift you up in what you're doing as it relates to your fitness journey?
Nice. This is kind of another community question as well, too. In the beginning of your social media journey, where did you look for inspiration for community building?
I think what's interesting in looking at inspiration out there is that there's so many different types of brands, and we're all looking to build this sense of community. And I think that that's something that, you know, we talk community every single day. How many times will we say, you know, building our community or connecting with our community? It's so important. So I think we've looked at a lot of different types of brands across direct competitors and then others. That's really a goal for us too within Team Gainful, is how can we connect this group of like-minded nano and micro influencers to one another, knowing, you know, just how much they'll be able to build one another up and really get a lot out of those relationships as well.
All right. Do you use any automated email flows to reinforce community building to help keep ambassadors invigorated? Great word. Or mostly dedicated monthly email with updates and ambassador spotlights? So
invigorated is a great word, and it's a mix of both. So through Grin, we have templatized a lot of our communication. That way we have the same format for a monthly check-in email. And at the top of the month, that's where we say Gainful updates, any product updates they should be aware of, and then go into shout outs and what the monthly content challenge is. That obviously changes month to month, but in terms of the structure, we're able to have that be a template and just plug and play the changes through Grin. So that's been super helpful.
No, that's perfect. All right. So this one is, I missed this part. How does Gainful approach their goals of wanting to build credibility as a premium personalized sports nutrition brand and bringing new customers to the table now?
So something we're always looking to do is to really partner with the types of influencers that are truly active every single day and that really fit the personas of a Gainful customer and someone that, you know, is really committed to their sport or dedicated to what their fitness routine is. So that's what's really important to us, because that's where the credibility is going to come in. When you have some of those experts in those spaces, whether it's a fitness professional or someone that's really looking to make that their career on social, that they are loving the Gainful product because of the quality that it has and because of the output that they're seeing by working Gainful into their day to day. So the way that we can really build this premium brand for ourselves is really just by working with the right types of individuals that are seeing the results that they're looking for, and then able to speak to them in a really authentic manner. And that's where the credibility is going to come in. So the quality of the product itself and then the right type of connections to these established influencers is really what's going to drive exactly that.
Perfect. Are you no longer using an affiliate model, or do your influencers still get commission along with free product and content ideas every month?
We are just now testing into, you know, adding a commission incentive to this group, because as we changed it to be more ambassador first, content first, we didn't upfront offer commission and wanted to see, you know, is it still an attractive program to opt into, a community to build without additional financial incentives? And now that we have built a really strong foundation, now we're able to really leverage commission as an additional incentive. And, you know, see where that takes us. So for example, in January, at the top of the year, we knew that a lot of new people are going to be coming to Gainful. This is like our Super Bowl. You know, people are really diving back into health and fitness. How can Gainful help support them? And so they're coming to us, but they're also going to be coming to new influencers to follow on, you know, different social platforms who have that through line of health and fitness. So because I know that people are going to be probably seeing our pool of ambassadors, a lot more eyes on their channels, they have an opportunity to make sales as well. So we offered in January, you know, for 1 month, we're saying, hey, you know, additional, every time you make a sale, you're going to get a commission kickback. Just see where that is. So the month hasn't ended yet. We haven't paid that out, but we'll pay it out at the end of the month and see if it's something that we want to do longer term.
Excellent. Now, it says you also mentioned that influencers have an opportunity to win additional money depending on how the content performs. Is that a bonus payment that you give them?
This is not necessarily about how the content performs. Our monthly content challenges, we like to gamify so that it encourages people to do them, of course, but it encourages them to create the kind of content that we want to share outside of, you know, just their own page. So for ones that we think, oh my gosh, this is a great day in the life, or wow, they really dug into their goals here and how, you know, Gainful is a part of supporting that, we can't wait to share this. We always choose three winners and from our perspective to give that additional monetary piece to. And it really just helps it be exciting for them to create this content and not a chore. And it doesn't feel as Gainful the brand. We want you to create a day in the life and, you know, they're not getting anything out of it because, again, this isn't a group that we're providing a ton of creative direction for. We don't have that kind of payment model. So a way to support them is saying, hey, if you do this, you don't have to, but if you do, you do have that chance to win something extra.
Who doesn't like a little healthy competition, right?
Love it.
This is a really quick question here. Do you use paid ads to reach new ambassadors?
In terms of like saying, hey, apply to be an ambassador?
Yeah.
We haven't yet, but I have definitely seen it, you know, other brands do this, and I don't think it's something we would count out in the future. Right now, we're really excited by the strong group that we have. And I think that if we had the bandwidth internally to scale the program even more, you know, have someone run like thousands of ambassadors one day, like pipe dream, so exciting. I think that it would be a great piece of advice to use paid ads to target those right people.
I love it. I know that there are some people that save it as a highlight on their Instagram, you know, so it always kind of just lives there. So it's a story, but it is also a highlight for them. Now, you mentioned a key player on your team that manages the relationship with your ambassadors. Do you recommend having one point of contact for a program like this, or is it best as a team effort? I think this is a really great question because you have shouted out Camilla, but at what do you also enter into that relationship as well too?
Yeah, I have. She is amazing and does all of our vetting and our sourcing. And so she really has become that first point of contact and people are very familiar with her as she's kind of the voice behind Team Gainful. But it's really important, not only for her growth at the company, but also just for the program, is that this really needs to be a program that people can step into and not, you know, on the other side of it, not feel like alienated from because you're not there with the relationship. So I do work with our creators when we elevate them to do specific pieces of content or have cultural moments that we're a part of and we're having more one-on-one like Zoom calls, for example. Like I'm always there. It's great to put a face to a name and meet these people in real life. But this is also a great plug for Grin. So Camilla is the one with that, you know, first point of contact, but we are able to send emails, even though it comes through, you know, to an ambassador from our gainful.com email address. If you send it through Grin, I can really easily jump in and reach out to this group. Or if we are able to expand our team in the future, have someone else come on and, you know, take more of this kind of role on without it disrupting the flow of communication.
Love it. Do you use TikTok Marketplace to source TikTok creators? Or do you only use TikTok Marketplace to source TikTok creators?
For our paid TikTok strategy, we do use TikTok Creator Marketplace. That's funny to say all in one. and we are kind of vetting this as well as an opportunity for the brand side. So more to come there, but we're getting familiar with it.
I love it. And here's the final question. This has definitely been a marathon of questions. What has been your biggest challenge in creating this ambassador program?
For me, the biggest challenge, just because I've seen the V1 and been the person who tried and failed and had to change it, has really been what Bridget said earlier, is giving it the time to learn from on either end of the spectrum. If you need time to learn that it's not working, that's okay. But it is so difficult to really have grace and be like, all right, let's just see it through. And then when you do make that pivot, there's still another set of time to like really think about how you are working in your communication, which is such a huge part of this program, and what the flow is like, and who are the people that you're really looking for. Like, all of this takes time that when you're first starting out is something that you want to see immediate returns from, whether it's sales or content or whatever your goals are. You want all of that immediately because it's so glitzy and something that proves value, but the value really comes in sitting with everything, learning from it, and then seeing it scale.
Great. Excellent. Well, thank you both so much for coming on, letting me steal so much of your time so that you guys can share your story and get through these questions. Again, I know that everybody who attended the webinar gained so much knowledge listening to your story. And then anybody who's listening to this Q&A, thanks for joining us for those unanswered questions. Thank you again so much. I hope that you gained lots of insights. It's always great to hear from marketers who are in the trenches of influencer marketing and learn from their story. Want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes. Be sure to give us a rating and leave a review. I love to hear what you like. If you're interested in watching the Fireside Chat with Bridget and Taylor, which is on going from zero to 300 plus influencer marketing program in less than a year, or other brands that we've featured in the past, like Able, Organifi, Trifecta, Nutrivolt, and so many more, visit the live events section at grin.co. Check out our resources and blogs while you're there for more tips, tricks, and marketing trends. Until next time, keep grinning.